All right. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in to today's seminar, where we're going to go through the title here, Putting Bedwetting to Bed. For those of you who don't know who I am, I'm Dr. Brett with Core Chiropractic here in Burlington. Now, my wife and I, Dr. Rachel, we opened Core about 4 years ago. And while we're a family-centered office, you know, our journey here has really led us to develop a very strong passion for providing care in the pregnant and pediatric populations more specifically. And like I said, today we're really going to dig into what are the underlying causes of bedwetting, not just covering it up. But I want to start and give you just a little history of where are we coming from and why have we developed such a passion for caring for our kids and helping them be at their highest level of health. So to give you an understanding of where we came from, after we graduated from Palmer in Iowa, we moved right back to Burlington. And within about a six-month span, we did the build-out of our office, opened our office, and actually during the build-out, found out that we were pregnant with our son. So that was, it was a very stressful time in our life. And now through school, we learned and understood what the different effects of stress are on our health. And that really, really led us to dig into how do we help pregnant populations have the best health, the best possible birth, and really support good pregnancy care through the information that we knew. And that got us into a lot of more wellness and more oriented in overall health. Now, when Graham was born, he was Frank Breech, which pretty much means he came out, you know, butt to the world. So that created a lot of extra stress on his spine and on his nervous system. And shortly after his birth, we noticed that he was nursing really well on one side and not so well on the other side. Knowing that that was a nerve interference pattern, you know, we checked him. We checked his nervous system for subluxations, which are small misalignments in the spine that affect the output of the nerve, you know, and we adjusted and corrected that. And immediately after he was adjusted and we relieved that nerve interference, it was restricting him from being able to properly turn his head and nurse properly, he was able to latch right on both sides, and we didn't really have issues after that. So that was, it was absolutely amazing just to see how well our bodies adapt when we're free of that nerve interference and what the capabilities of our body are when we allow it to function the way it needs to. So that experience really, you know, it really drove us and drove our passion for infant and pediatric and pregnancy care, which gets us into what today's topic is, which is our bedwetting. Now, bedwetting isn't, you know, it's not a topic that most people oftenly discuss and are very happy to go through. And it's also something that can really make our kids feel anxious, feel almost embarrassed, or like they don't have control of their body, like it's out of control. So the focus of today's talk and what we really want to hit into is how do we put the power back into their hands? How do we make them feel like they have control? And how do we help you as the parent to do that? So we are going to dig into what are the safe and effective strategies that are going to put you on that path to success so that you're not having to struggle with this issue or make up excuses why your son or daughter can't go to an overnight stay or has to do certain things. So we want to get rid of that stuff for you. Now, before we really dig into the bedwetting stuff, it's important that we first have an understanding of what chiropractic truly is. Now, most people have been led to believe through the public that chiropractic is primarily neck and back pain. So we get a lot of questions in our office of why do we see so many kids? You know, why are you adjusting that newborn? Or why are you checking this pregnant mom? It's because chiropractic is so much more than neck and back pain. Now, it has been found to be the safest, most effective short and long-term management for those things. But like I said, it's so much more. To put it into kind of the simplest terms here, essentially, our brain controls everything that our body does through the nervous system. I don't want to go over that too fast, but we really have to own that concept that our brain controls everything our body does through the nervous system. And Grey's Anatomy actually calls the brain and nervous system the master control system. And the reason being is the function of every cell, every tissue, every organ, every gland, every vessel is controlled through that very nerve system. So it is very important that that is always functioning correctly. Now, if there's an interference to that system, the functions of those organs, glands, vessels, tissues will not be correct. And that down the road can start to lead to changes in digestion, so improper digestion, imbalances in hormone levels, a weakened immune system, poor balance or poor athletic performance, slowed development, and this list can continue to just go on. There are so many things that can result from this. But to tune into today's aspect, knowing what you know now, that the brain through the nervous system controls everything that our body does, what do we think would happen if we took the nerve supply to the bladder and we interrupted that nerve supply? Right, it probably wouldn't work well. It wouldn't facilitate the functions it needs to. Maybe it wouldn't stretch correctly to where it wouldn't signal our brain to tell us that we actually have to go to the bathroom. Or maybe the hormone levels wouldn't regulate correctly at night so that our body stops producing as much urine to excrete. Right, so we're going to dig into those things more in depth as we get through today, but that's where we're headed, and that's what we want to get to, is not the cover-up, but the underlying cause. So I'm really excited for this, and I hope you guys have your pen and paper ready to take some good notes, because like I said, we're going to get into some really good information. So to start with, you know, essentially the bedwetting issue, what is it? How is it defined, and where are we coming from? Now, bedwetting, the technical definition is defined as an involuntary urination during sleep. Now, the normal range, it's considered normal during potty training. So we get a lot of questions about, you know, when is it normal or when is it considered bedwetting? Most children are going to stop around the age of 3 to 4, which is usually where they are fully potty trained. Okay? Now, with that, bedwetting is going to be more likely to affect boys than girls. And the reason that that is boys are going to develop slower than what girls are. Physically, we do, you know, good job, girls. You do mature quicker than boys. So we are going to tend to see girls potty train earlier and wet the bed less at an earlier stage. However, are there always exceptions to the rules? Certainly, that's more of a generalization. Now, some of the literature says that bedwetting can be an issue after the age of 7, so they create a pretty large window, but when your child is fully potty trained, if they continue to wet the bed, it's something that should be on your radar, because as we're going to cover today through these next few steps, bedwetting is oftentimes, most often, it's really a smaller symptom of a larger universal problem. So there's usually something bigger going on underlying the surface that bedwetting's occurring. Okay, so it's one of those checkpoints that should kind of ding a light in our brain to say, okay, something else is going on. We should look into this and discover it. Okay, now a lot of the solutions that are out there, so that's what bedwetting is. What are the solutions? A lot of the things that are out there right now, if you look at Google, you know, what you're going to see are things that are designed to kind of externally trigger basically the child to stop wetting the bed, okay? But they're not really getting at the cause. I'm going to go through these really quick. So waterproof sheets and water-absorbing underpants, obviously a good start point. You know, if you're still potty training your child, that's a smart choice. Put waterproof sheets on the bed so they're not ruining the mattresses. But again, that is not getting at the cause of why they're wetting the bed. It's just, you know, covering your mattress so that doesn't get damaged. Another one is an alarm system that attaches to their underpants. And then when the child starts to wet the bed, when the underpants get wet, an alarm will go off that will wake them up. Again, we're not getting at the cause. We're waiting for them to do that. There are watches or small alarms that will wake your son or daughter up on a regular basis. So during the night, you're disrupting that sleep pattern and you're waking them up to use the bathroom. One is to don't drink too many fluids close to bed, just so that you can avoid the body's necessity of excreting liquid. The other one is give a reward for waking up with dry sheets. Again, you're positively reinforcing good activity that you want. And then the last one is medications. Now, with all of the things that we just listed, none of them address the underlying issue that's causing bedwetting. And with that, the documented side effects of the medications with that are nausea, stomach pain, insomnia, headaches, anxiety, even coma, and that's just some of what's on the list of the medications that are used. So we really have to analyze, what are we doing to approach this issue and what are we doing to get at the cause? Because like I said, the stuff that we had just gone through are going to be very limited in their effect and very limited through that approach for several reasons. One, everyone's unique. So not everyone is going to respond the same to the same approach. Although one child might benefit from getting a reward for dry sheets, that may not work for the next child. Okay, so we have to look at what is the underlying cause and why is this happening, not just how do we change the environment around them. Okay, so that's what we're going to get into now, this is the part that really the rubber hits the road, because now we're looking at why does bedwetting happen. And we understand why it happens, it's going to help us to bring in that focus of why is chiropractic so effective at helping this, and what are the things we need to start doing to get ahead of this issue. So the biggest thing to understand in the beginning here, and the number one thing we want to see, is we always have to remember that our kids do not want to wet the bed. Okay, he or she is not doing this out of spite. Children are not lazy. They're not like lazy sleepers. And they don't feel good about it. Okay. A lot of kids that are having these issues with wetting the bed, like I said, they are anxious about it. They're embarrassed about it. So it doesn't make them feel awesome. Okay. So it's not a purposeful thing. Okay. So some of the common causes, we'll go into these a little bit more in depthly, but I'm just going to name them out quickly, are one is an imbalance in the hormones. Two is stress. Three is going to be diet. Fourth is a phrenic reflex, which is the specific nerve that goes to the bladder. And then the fifth is subluxations, which again are misalignments of the spine that irritate the nervous system and interfere with that proper pathway. So remember how we talked about if we stop that nerve interference to the bladder, is it going to work well? No, it's not. Now, going back, so imbalance in hormones. Basically, there is a specific hormone that's called antidiuretic hormone, or ADH. I'm not going to go into all the specifics of the pathways, but essentially what this hormone does is it increases its production at night to slow your urine production. Okay, so if that hormone is out of balance, the body will not properly regulate urine production, and it will overproduce, which will make your child have to urinate at night. So again, if the nerve cannot tell the body what to do, the hormone regulation cannot occur at its best, okay? The next one was stress. Now, when we look at stress just across the board, almost 95 to 99% of all conditions can really be traced back to either a physical, a chemical, or an emotional stress. So with our kids, there are a lot of different stresses going on, okay? Like I said, we have a son. He's very active. He has a lot of spills and falls. So he has a lot of physical stress. All kids learned how to walk and crawl and move. So we know that the physical stress is there. Chemical stress comes from the diet, and emotional stresses. This is one we can't overlook. Maybe we started a new school, or we moved houses, or we moved out of our crib into our big boy, big girl bed, or we just had a sibling. You know, there are a lot of things that emotionally can put stress on the child when we change the environment and when we shift things around them. So we have to be cognizant of what those things are and start to look at what's been happening leading up to these cases, okay? So stress is a big, 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 big factor in this. Third one here is diet. Primarily, sugar is a problem we're having. So processed foods and sugar are the big ones. The chemicals in those foods, well, if you want to call them foods, foods, the chemicals in those have a diuretic kind of activity to them, which essentially means they are going to pull water out of your body and they are going to facilitate your body to excrete liquid. Okay? So we have to understand that eating too much sugar in general we know is not good for us, but is definitely going to contribute to this. Okay? Now we get into the nervous system, again, that master control system. So there's a specific nerve, again, called the phrenic nerve, the phrenic reflex, which goes directly into the bladder. Now, this is where boys and girls are going to differ. So we said that boys mature a little bit slower. This is where if a boy is maturing slower or there's a delay in development, this reflex can get slowed down, which is going to slow the control that they have of the bladder. So as we support the nervous system functioning correctly, as we support their body getting rid of that nerve irritation, you're going to support proper growth and development, which is going to start to strengthen those reflexes. You're going to start to get those things to communicate more efficiently and more effectively. Okay? And then our last one, like we said, is our, you know, our chiropractic tag word here, subluxations, which again, misalignment of the spine that interferes with the nerve system, that master control system. So when you interfere with that nerve system, the body will not function at its optimal levels because those organs don't receive the necessary signals for proper function. So the interesting part on this is a lot of our kids that we see changes or issues with bedwetting, a lot of times we'll see some changes as far as constipation or changes in the digestive system because those areas of the nervous system go back to the same roots, so the same levels. So we do see some overlap in different things like that, and that's what we look at in our office. Like I said, the bedwetting can be a much smaller symptom of a greater issue. So it's just a sign that something's out of balance and needs to be reset there. All right, so now we understand what is bedwetting, why does it happen, so what do we need to do to help get through these issues? The first thing, and I think the most important step right here, is to talk to your child about this issue and get on the same page with him. Ask your child how they feel or if they have any solutions. The biggest thing here is to stay positive and just offer them support. Remember, they don't feel great about wetting the bed, and they're almost embarrassed about it. So it's not like it's going to be an easy, fun thing for them to go through. But reassure them, let them know that you guys are a team, you're working together, and you're going to overcome it, okay? Like I said, the biggest thing is let them know that it's not something to be ashamed of or embarrassed of. It's just a hurdle that you guys need to work at overcoming, okay? So now that you've had that, you've got on the same page, like I said, you've taken care of some of that emotional stress there, what are some of the natural remedies and some of the safer ways to get at the cause of the issue? And that's what we're all about here. Number one, chiropractic care. Like we talked about earlier, chiropractic care is going to help to remove that irritation to the nerve system, and it's going to remove the irritation and the disruption that's stopping the proper control of the bladder. So when we get proper control through the nerve system, we're going to get proper control of the bladder, proper balance of the hormones that control it, and proper reactions to stress. Okay? Chiropractic care is very effective at helping your body to better handle and better balance stress. So if we have an environment that's in a lot of flux, we need to support that. Okay? Chiropractic care is going to do that for you. The biggest thing with that is, again, I don't want to go through these points too fast, but when your body is in proper alignment, it will function correctly, right? The hormone levels will normalize, the muscles will contract right, and everything will communicate back to the brain more efficiently, more effectively, and properly when the system is in proper balance, okay? And that's what we want to do there. The other thing is diet, okay? Now that we have the nervous system and that master control system turned on, we need to focus in on the diet. One thing to do is identify and remove any foods that we're allergic to or any foods that we're sensitive to. Okay, the common sensitivities are going to be your dairy, your wheat, your soy. Okay, so be very in tune with how much of that food, if any, are they getting and what reactions they're having to it, not just bedwetting, but in general. The sensitivities and the allergies, a common side effect of a lot of those is bedwetting, okay? And then one that we touched on earlier, avoid caffeine. That's going to be your soft drinks, your sodas and stuff like that, and sugar, your juices, your crackers, your snacks. Avoid caffeine and sugars, which, again, strong diuretics. So they will cause your body to have excessive urination. All right, so we want to keep those to a minimum. All right. Now, the coolest thing about that approach right there is that, one, you're actually getting at the underlying cause. You're not waiting for a symptom to occur, as in like the alarms. You're not trying to cover it up or change the environment around it. And two, which is even better, unlike the medications, there are no harmful side effects to this. The side effect is a healthier child. And as a parent, no more excuses that you have to make up why he or she can't stay at a friend's house or can't go and do something. So with that, I just want to say that I know we hit really hard on pediatrics and bedwetting and what's going on in our kids in that specific case, but chiropractic is for everyone. It's for anyone that wants to function properly, right? So children and adults of all ages can benefit from it. In our office, we have children from 1 to 2 days old to 90 years young, and we see all of them improve at their own pace. Now, everyone's going to have their own challenges, own unique challenges, and many of them are going to be remedied when your body is healthy and when your body heals itself. But it's going to help to have someone on your side and someone that can support you on your path to health and wellness and get you specifically to where you want to be, and we're happy to support you. We would be happy to schedule your family members for an appointment and get you guys on a path to better health and drier sheets, of course. So thank you so much for your time, and I look forward to discussing this more with you guys. Have a wonderful, wonderful day, and I hope you got a lot of great notes from this. Have a wonderful day. Bye.